Will y'all be praying for me? Last night I kind of lost my voice. I've been getting sick the last couple of days. I don't know, allergies, and I don't know what's going on, but I guess would you pray for me, Mark? Yesterday, good. I asked you to, and it seemed like I got my voice back a little bit. So we'll see where and how this thing goes. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for another day you've given us, Lord. We ask this morning that you be with us, Lord, that you visit us once again. And Lord, you just open our minds, our hearts, and help me this morning to preach, Lord. And I just thank you so much for this church, the men and women, the youth, the children of this church, Lord. I just ask that you continue to use us in a mighty way, Lord. Give us this privilege, Lord, to continuing this grand work that you've given us, Lord. I especially pray this morning, Lord, for my message. You give me the right words, the right thoughts. For Brother Bill, Lord, that you touch somebody this morning, Father. That you end this thing, this week off with a great note, Lord. I also pray for Steve and Dal Ross and his health, Lord. I just thank you for what you've done, Lord, thus far. And Lord, that you just bless them in a mighty way, and that you get them to Poland, Lord, and he might be able to see some great things, Lord. And also for Brother Steve, Lord, as he's going down to Mexico with me. And I just ask that you just use him in a tremendous way, Lord. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Open your Bibles to John chapter 3. I'm sorry, not chapter 3, 21. This ain't going to go very good. John chapter 21. Got a little bit of water on my shirt. This isn't sweat, by the way. I actually spilled water. John chapter 21. I want to read some verses here. It says, after these things, verse 1, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on the wise showed he himself. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. That night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153. For all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. Says, and none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. You know, I want to talk about three simple things that I see in these passages right here. But, you know, it's amazing to me these fish stories, right? And I know in this church we have some fishermen here in this church, you know, and I think the greatest fisherman we have has got to be Danny. I mean, I know it is, you know, because every time Mike, you know, talks about his fishing trips, well, Danny says this, And Danny says that. And every time I've gone with Michael fishing, he says, well, Danny says this, and Danny says that. You know? And then I'm talking to Bill, and, well, Danny says this, and this is the way we should do it. And you know what? People just like this, you know, Peter says, he says, I'm going fishing, and these guys didn't even wait for the invite. They're just going to tag along, you know? They're going to go fishing. I think, you know, every time I hear Danny's going fishing, he always has a bunch of people around him. You know? I don't know if Danny invites him or not. I really don't. I mean, they just say, you know, Danny, you going fishing? Yeah, and they just tag right along with him, you know? Why? I think they know they're going to catch some fish. And, you know, and I really don't think Danny minds people going with him. Because, I mean, I could be wrong. I mean, it could be, you know, he likes the fellowship. I don't know. But I think when Danny sees five people going with him, his limit just went up. You know? Because from what I understand, you can catch, what is it, 10 trout per person? 10 trout. That's all Danny can catch and take home. But if five more of the people show up, his limit just went up. You know? Because Danny can catch some fish. Well, you know, I like fishing. But I see those pictures. You know, Michael shows me all those pictures, you know. And, of course, it's funny because Michael's the only one in the picture. You know, on the pictures he sees, you know. I mean, he shows me. He's back there, he has all these fish, and there's Michael. You know, I think he photoshops the other guys out, you know, to show, look what we caught, you know. But it just looks like a lot of work. I wouldn't mind going with Danny, you know, just to learn how to do it. I wouldn't mind going, but it looks like a lot of work. I mean, I like fishing. One or two is good. I like fishing with Brother Lindell. You know, I mean, that's my speed of fishing. You know, we go out there, you know, we barely get the boat and, you know, the water, you know, we try to sink a couple boats here and there, you know, I mean, yeah, just have some fun. You know, we're not catching any fish. That's okay, Bill Little says, you know what, we're done, let's go get a hamburger. We barely got the boat in the water, you know. Yeah, that's it. let's go find something to eat. Ain't nothing in here. That's my speed of fishing, you know. I know I can always go to Walmart and find some fish. I like fishing. But you know what? One thing I saw about this obviously, and we tend to think to come up with excuses of why we're not catching fish, you know. And, you know, I definitely think the problem wasn't that there wasn't any fish in the sea. You know, that's never the problem. You know, the problem wasn't that the net they had was a bad net. I mean, it says they were dragging that net with a whole bunch of fish. They didn't bust, you know. I think the problem wasn't that the boat wasn't good enough. You know, I mean, it brought them in. They were out there. They didn't sink, you know. That boat that me and Brother Lindell tried to sink, I mean, it went under. It really did, you know, but we got it up to shore. I don't think there was anything wrong with the boat they were on. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with where they were fishing. It all had to do with the direction. Jesus showed up and he said, just cast it right over there. Mm-hmm. And you're going to get some fish, you know. But we tend to have so many excuses when it comes to working for God, you know. And there's absolutely, this should be the farthest thing from our mind, excuses. Yeah. You know? Instead of excuses, we should try to be getting rid of things that are probably a hindrance in this work. You know? But as I was thinking of this, I think the story, obviously, not so much when you look at it as to the excuses and stuff. Let's just stop doing all that. But look at the people that are inside the boat. You know, I started looking at the first guy we see here is Peter, you know, and I mean, we all know Peter, right? I mean, this guy that was ashamed of Jesus and denied him. Well, we need to get that. There's some things we need to get out of the boat. We have a tremendous boat. I mean, Christ is our boat. Christ has given us, I think, a good boat here. You know, we really do have a good church. We really, and I, you know what? I don't just say that. because you know, you guys support me financially in Mexico. I mean, which that is a good reason to say that. But I'm not just saying that because you know, I'm out there and you guys help me out to live out there. I'm not just saying that because I expect something. I actually was saved in this church and was a part of this church, and I really like coming to this church. I mean, I did. I look forward to it. You know, my coworkers thought I was a nut when I got saved because I didn't want to work on Sundays anymore, you know? And they said, you get paid time and a half on Sundays. What are you talking about, you know? When Sam Walton died, they cut all that time and a half right out, you know? And they just started paying people just straight up on Sundays, which I thought was a bad idea. But since I was there when Sam Walton was alive, they couldn't take that away from me. I had time and a half. I mean, even my manager said, you know what? You're not thinking straight, you know? I mean, and he tried to convince me by saying, well, look, if you work on Sundays, that's that much more money you can give to your church. I mean, you know, he actually tried to convince me. And I said, well, you know, I understand that, but I need the church. I need to be there, you know? And I wasn't saying I wasn't going to work on a Sunday. I just didn't want to work between 10 to 12 on a Sunday. I had no problem going in early in the morning. And I had no problem staying in the afternoon. And I had no problem staying that night, Sunday night, you know, going back to work. I could care less. But, you know, the times and the meetings, amen. I wanted to be in this boat. I wanted to be in here, and I knew I had to be in here. I got a hold of something that was actually real and actually meaningful to me. You know, Stephen talked about choices that we make, you know, and up to that point in my life, you know, as a young man, I'm just falling apart. I tell you, Bill was down there when he was all laid up in Toluca with the torn tendon. He was up there and he said, man, at 50 years old, my dad started falling apart, Bill said, you know, and Bill didn't even get to 50. At 49, he started falling apart. I'm not even in the 40 and I'm falling apart. But you know what? This boat that we're in, and I mean, God put us in here, but we got to make sure that we get some stuff out of the boat. You know, there's got to be some clutter that we need to just constantly be getting out. You know? I mean, we're using this thing, and this boat is useful to get out. I mean, there's spots, when I go down to the coast and fish, I like fishing off the jetties. I like fishing, you know, they're off the surf, and it's fun, but those waves get pretty rough sometimes, you know? And then I see them folks out there in the boat, just a little past those waves breaking. I'm thinking, man, I wish I was in that boat, you know? They're in some good spots over there. Well, you know, our boat is good. I think we have so the advantages of our church and the things that they allow us to do in here are just excellent. You know, I mean, talking about the open meeting, talking about you got a ministry, you know, I'll help you out. That's the attitude I've always been around. You know, I mean, people are willing to help you out. Brother Brian, you know, I mean, I remember being here and when Alyssa was born and just all that sickness and we were at his trailer 5 o'clock in the morning. Studying, and Brother Brian had Alyssa, you know, with tubes coming out, feeding her, and he was teaching me. Amen. Amen. Brother Brian's busy, you know? I mean, he's got a hard life, but you know what? He was always there to help. And these are the examples that I have in this boat that I'm in, Amen. You know? And because God has put me in this boat, I need to try my best to get rid of the clutter. Get rid of the stuff that's going to trip me up. It's going to mess up this thing that we have. We have Peter that's ashamed sometimes and doesn't want to get, you know, denying. We need to get that attitude right out of the boat. You know, what about Thomas? You know, doubting. Doubting we can do more. You know, doubting we can finish this thing. Doubting that God's going to bless us. I mean, how many times do we come to church not even thinking that God's going to bless us tonight? Yeah. Or what about this week? Mm-hmm. You know, can God call more people? God can do it, man. Yeah. You know, can God wake up the young people in this church to carry on what the older guys have done? Sure, he can do it. And I think he's doing it. I think some guys have woken up. I think some guys are getting up and doing their part and starting and going forward. And I just can't wait to see what God has planned. But what about Nathaniel? You know, I mean, it says over there in John 1:46, and Nathaniel said unto him, "Can there be any good thing that come out of Nazareth?" I mean, I like people that criticize me. I really do. You know, because I think some people are right on the money when they criticize me. You know, I like a critic. But some things people say are just crazy. You know? And sometimes we have the spirit. Here these guys come excited, you know? And they say, "Man, we have found the Messiah. We have found something incredible." And he throws a wet blanket on the thing, you know? Kind of like Michael, you know? Don't you tell Michael you got a nice computer. I mean, just forget it, man. You know? This guy has the best of the best all the time. He's just always, you know, last year I sent him, I went fishing. I guess it was after the mission conference. I went fishing and I went down there and my brother-in-law took me on his boat and I went down there and I caught me like 3 trout, man. I mean, you know, one a pretty good size. You know, and I sent Michael those pictures. I said, "Michael, man, we had a great day. Look what I caught." Guess what? You know, he went fishing with Danny. You know, he had all these. He said, "Look what I caught." You know, I told Mike that once I got back to Mexico, and he said, "He didn't catch those fish. That Danny caught all those fish." I said, "Oh, that little liar." Make me feel all bad, you know. Here I'm, but you know, they tasted good. Who cares? But you know, I mean, come on. Can anything good come from that place? You know, and don't we have that kind of spirit sometimes? Can anything happen? I mean, come on. 20-something years. I mean, come on. You know, what other new stuff are we going to learn today, you know, church? Why go? You know, what? I mean, we pretty much tapped Brother Lindo out, right? I mean, he's got nothing else. What else is he going to tell us that we haven't heard before? Well, you know, maybe if we come to church with the attitude of, you know, I want God to speak to me. Amen. And maybe it's the same thing, but maybe this time you're going to get it. Yeah. You know? Yeah. I think that's the problem sometimes, you know? I mean, are you getting dull of hearing? Well, maybe you got to clear that up. You know? Maybe you just got to come and just say, "You know what? I'm just going to do it." Why don't you do that? Why don't you come to Sunday meeting next Sunday, or this Sunday, I don't know, you know, and say, "Whatever Brother Lindell tells me to do, whatever Brother Brian tells me to do, whatever Brother Trini says in his message this Sunday, I'm going to do it." That's pretty scary. That's pretty scary. But you know what I'm talking about? I mean, why come to the meeting and say, "Can anything happen today? I'm just going to stay home." You know? I'm just going to watch those Spurs in Dallas play today. I'm not going to stay for the fellowship afterwards, you know. They play at noon. I'll go get me a burger, you know, and watch some guys. Why don't you stick around? Why don't you stick around today, you know? Maybe somebody will have a good word for you today. You know, I love the fellowships around here. Then we got these other guys, James and John, you know, glory seekers. You know, I know what we do here and the things that we've done here, you know, are worth something. I really do. And I think we have men who know what they're doing. But you know what? I'm glad these men that I actually look up to and I say, "I want to imitate these guys," they're not glory seekers. You know? Instead of taking the credit, they would rather show you how to do a better job. You know? And maybe you can surpass them. Maybe you can do a greater work than they've done. These are the people that I look up to. But you know, I think we need to get that out of the boat too. You know? Looking for the glory, looking for what I've done. Who cares? I mean, really, who cares? You know what's important? Jesus Christ. That is important. Amen. And you know what? And then you got those other two. No name. You know, and I think that's pretty interesting. You know? And all I'm going to say about that is, whatever I didn't mention, you just put that in there. Mm-hmm. You know? It's interesting that there was no name there. You don't know who they are. But you know, you might say, well, I don't have a critical heart. You know, I don't deny anything. You know, I come in here expecting it. Well, you know, I know there's got to be something in there. Mm-hmm. You know? And how do I know that? Because I know myself. We got to make sure that what God has given us, and it's this church, it's this work, that we do our absolute best to try to make it work the way God intended it to work. You know? And then I thought about the lessons here that we can learn. You know, I think these guys were tired. I mean, all night fishing. I mean, I get tired after a couple hours of not catching anything. You know, it's just tiring. You know? And since I'm not such a good fisherman, about a year ago I picked up fly fishing. You know? Since I don't catch anything, I'm gonna at least have fun throwing the dumb thing in the water. You know? And that's a challenge, you know, that fly fishing. Because, I mean, first time I went, man, I was all tangled up and everything. I'm thinking, how do they do this, you know? I mean, I've watched movies and clips on people, you know, throwing that fishing rod, and it just sails out there real nice and pretty, you know? And I do it, man, and I get hooked all over the place. But, you know, I bet these guys were tired, discouraged, and no doubt they were hungry. You know, Jesus had some fish for him, and he was ready to just give him a little bit of direction. That's another thing we see here, direction. I think we need to wait for the Lord. The Lord pointed us right to the right place and the right person and the right thing that we need to do to get this thing on fire again. You know? And I'm not saying we're not. I mean, I'm sure there's quite a few of us here on fire. Actually, I know there is. I mean, I've talked to some of you this week, and you guys seem pretty happy. You know, the people I talked to didn't seem down, you know. As a matter of fact, they seem like they're expecting something. That's a good attitude to have, you know. So you're not seeing anything right now. Well, who cares? You know, we have a God who can do lots of things.
Amen.
You know.
Amen.
But, you know, I don't think it was just dumb luck that they caught 153 fish. Isn't that interesting? 153. I mean, that's a lot of fish. Why not 150? I mean, it's around 100. You know, but it was 153. I mean, God is just so precise, man. I mean, he really is. You know? Those verses says that he knows the hairs on your head. I mean, why in the world did he say that? That's just like crazy, you know? The hair on my head? He's just precise. But, you know, I started thinking about that. That isn't dumb luck. You know, God knew exactly when and where and what direction to throw that net, and he put the fish right there. I mean, these guys weren't inexperienced fishermen like me. You know? I mean, these guys were experienced fishermen. I think they were doing everything right. And Jesus shows up after a long, hard night, and he says, "Children, have you any meat?" And I mean, what a question, man. He knew he knew they had a hard night and, you know, weren't catching anything. Isn't it amazing how God wants to reason with us, just wants to talk to us? Mm-hmm. What's your problem? You know my problem. You know, come on, why are you asking me? God just wants to talk. Mm-hmm. You know? And they said, "No, we don't have anything. Just cast right over there." To me, I think they wanted some fish. I think they had a desire to catch something. I think they were hungry and they wanted something to eat. You know, they wanted to get encouraged a little bit. You know, Jesus said, "Have you any meat?" "Nope." "Then just cast right over there." I mean, you're so close. You can't even imagine how close you are. It wasn't a long cast. It was just cast it right there. It's right in front of you. You know, it ain't dumb luck. I catch a fish and, man, it's probably dumb luck. You know? I mean, I go out to the coast, and if I bring anything in, I know it's just luck, you know. I imagine Danny. You know, I've never been fishing with Danny, but I imagine Danny just walks out there, and they say, "Danny,
where do we go?
You know? I can imagine Danny just getting out from the boat and kind of just walking right in, you know, and he's like the fish whisperer, you know? You know, they just all come to him. You better give me a big piece today. No, but we got somebody who knows where the fish is. And we got somebody who knows how to stir us up.
Amen.
What are we asking for? Seriously. More money? That's not a problem.
No.
You know, that's really not a problem, you know. They come to Jesus one time, or actually the disciples, and they ask for taxes, you know. You guys will pay your taxes? He says, just go throw a hook in the water, you know.
Yeah.
Pull out the fish, open it up. There'll be some money in there. Money in the fish, man. I mean, every now and again I open. Might be a bill on that thing. You just never know. But, I mean, come on. I mean, he does these ridiculous things. And I say it in a good way because it is. It's just incredible.
Yeah.
Money in a fish? You know what that tells me? Ain't nothing hard for God.
Right.
It really isn't. What I mean, money, it's not a problem. Let's look at something else that's even, I think, even a bigger miracle. How about somebody getting saved? You know? I mean, there ain't nothing like a revival when we see God move.
Amen.
You know? I mean, that first year that I was in Irapuato with these guys, I had a lot of fun. We were busy. I remember us being busy. Studies, I mean, you know, and I just liked it. I really did, to see God actually move. I think we need that. And I think God knows that we need that. But this was a gift from God. You know, throw it in that side. And God just gave it to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what made it special? Jesus was right there. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Three things. I think God wants to bless in an extraordinary way. Mm-hmm. But doing ordinary things. Just doing what we've been taught. You know? Just going to work, meeting in Jesus' name, witnessing, just doing. God's not asking us to close up this shop, go move out some mountain, you know, and dress in white sheets. He's not asking us for something crazy. He's just saying, just do what you've been told to do. Live for Him. Just get rid of some stuff. You know, get rid of some sin in your life and just live for Christ. Just do exactly what He told us to do.
Amen.
We should sanctify ourselves on a daily basis.
Amen.
Just doing ordinary things. These fishermen were just fishing, doing what they knew how to do. 153 fish. Just doing ordinary thing. God sent an extraordinary miracle in their lives. And I think that's what we need not to forget. That what we're doing in here is not a waste of time. Coming to meetings is not a waste of time. God said not to forsake the assembly. You know? Sharing, preaching, doing all the works to go out of this church is not, it shouldn't be a burden. It should be something that goes hand in hand with being saved.
Amen.
I think also, as I think about this, we need to ordinarily expect that God's going to do extraordinary things.
Yeah.
It should be not a surprise.
That's right. Yeah.
Didn't it seem interesting that, I mean, when we read in another spot in the Bible where when they met Jesus and they said, have you caught anything? No, we've been doing this all night, you know. We just cast over there. Well, man, just because you say so, we'll go ahead and do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just like, and these guys were just like impressed because it happened. Well, you don't see this here. I mean, they pull up the net and it gets stuck. You know, they got a whole bunch of fish. And they say, you know what? I think that's the Lord. I mean, it's like they expected something once they figured out it was the Lord. Well, man, a miracle? This isn't extraordinary. I mean, God's in the business of miracles. He can do whatever we want. But you know, I also started thinking about the miracles that God repeats. I mean, He did this before mm-hmm. with them. And He did it again with them. Well, you know what? We shouldn't be surprised. Or we shouldn't be thinking it can't happen again. I mean, God can... I don't think God is thinking, how can I outdo myself today? You know? I mean, I don't think that's the way God thinks. I think God's saying, man, I'm just going to do it again. I'm going to do the same thing I've done, and I'm going to do it again to this group, to these fishermen, and I'm going to let them have another blessing. I don't think that we should think that God can't do it again. He repeats miracles. He repeats the same blessings that He's given us over all these years. You know why He did it? Because He's faithful.
Amen.
He's a loving God. To say that, I mean, God didn't have the power to do it or the intent. He wanted to do it, obviously. He said, just cast over there and you're going to catch something. God's intent, I think, is for us to have a great work. Amen. I really do believe that. I don't think God established any work thinking, I just want to give them problems, you know? I want them to meet in a place where they're always fighting and criticizing and just being a big old mess. I don't think God does that. I think God has saved us out of that. I think God has put us in a great family. And I know there's people doing work all over the place. What is it that you want to do for God? You know, I know people who draw, you know, messages and stuff. Josh was telling me a little bit about that. And I've seen people do that. And there was a time a long time ago where I laughed at that. Yeah, oh, puppets. Come on, you know. He didn't get out there and preach, you know. Well, praise God for puppets and for drawings, whatever you think God's called you to do. You know? I'll go out there and help you. What do you want me to do? Hold the crayon? I'll hold the crayon. You know? I'll probably end up preaching anyways. But if it's something to get you going, I'll do it. You know? Are you going to tell me somebody can get saved over just watching somebody get out there and do something like that? I think they can. You know? I get tired of me having this attitude of criticizing everything. I don't want to do it. Can God? One time I heard this preacher. I don't know what I was reading exactly or how it happened, but he talked about this guy who got saved, and he stuttered up a storm. Couldn't do anything, couldn't even speak. But he wanted to share the gospel so bad. He got up on that stage and he fumbled. I don't think he got any words out. And this guy who was talking about it said that people just got saved left and right. At that crazy effort, yeah, God can do that.
Amen.
You know? But I think in our ministry, in our church, we should expect God to repeat these miracles.
Amen.
It's going to happen. If you can say no right now, no, we have no. What I'm looking for, what I've been praying for, what the movement that I want, God, I don't see it, and I really want it. Just be honest with God. Just say, no, we don't have it. We want it. We want this thing again. And expect God to do great things. Amen?